理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome back to Advanced Class, your window on the world, and we're going to talk about rogue waves today, so be sure and stay tuned. Well, if you're an oceanographer, you'll know all about this, but a lot of us like the ocean, and we've heard a lot about waves, we've heard about tsunamis, we've heard about all kinds of unusual things, and we're going to talk about something unusual today, these waves that are very, very big, and when you're on a ship, they're really frightening, and they're called rogue waves. This is Doris Broom, and what do you think about the lesson today, Ethan?
Well, it's a very interesting lesson. I had never heard of something like this, a rogue wave, until there was this incident where a cruise ship was hit by one of these waves. And it was a very interesting learning experience for me to learn about these new things.
And what I learned is that you can't really expect it to come. You don't know when it's going to come. So it's just something that's very unexpected and very terrible, and we have to be very careful.
Esther, have you ever been on a big ship at all? Probably not.
No, I haven't.
What about you,
I have been on a couple of big cruise ships, on a couple of cruises, Doris. And ironically, I actually was speaking with a couple of people who were telling me about an experience of their family members were on a cruise ship in Alaska, and this ship encountered actually a series of swells of these large 50, 60-foot waves that lasted for 3 or 4 hours. And I can't imagine being on a large cruise ship and having to go through an experience of a ship being tossed about in 50 or 60-foot waves. It would be terrifying.
Well, the first time I came out to Asia, I was on a big freighter. It was a huge one, and we were way up in the highest part there, and a wave came right in the window, way up in the porthole. They don't call them windows, but, you know, we call them windows. Landlubbers, they're portholes, and the wave came in there, but I don't know if that was because the winds were bad or a typhoon or what, but it was quite frightening to have the ship going. We couldn't even stand up, you know, you couldn't walk because it was shaking around. It's no fun.
Right, and you didn't know if the ship was even going to stay afloat, probably. You're probably thinking this thing is going to go down.
I was just thinking I felt seasick. That's all I was thinking.
Your cruise was a little bit different, though, Doris, from most people's experience today. Maybe people go on a 4, 5, 6 day luxury cruise. I don't think your cruise was a luxury cruise, and it was a little bit longer, wasn't it?
Yeah, mine was a 6-week trip to China, so that was a little different. And it was on a freighter. But anyway, the waves were bad. And I like the ocean when there's not so many big waves. But you get out there in the middle of the ocean, big waves is bad. So let's read about this today. And we're going to start on page 26? And
yes.
Read what?
From lines 1 to 26.
Okay, so read along with us.
Rogue waves not uncommon, experts say. For oceanographers, the fact that a monster wave slammed into a massive ocean liner is not that startling. What does surprise them is that it doesn't happen more often. Rogue waves go mostly unnoticed by humans until some, like the 70-footer that swept into a Norwegian cruise line vessel last April, remind us of their existence. They're more common than we thought, said Mark Donnellan, a professor of marine physics. You don't notice them unless somebody is there with a ship or an oil rig. Rogue waves form in 3 basic ways. They grow out of strong winds beating against an opposing ocean current. They are the product of intersecting waves driven together by storms, or they result from swells having their energy focused by the topography of the seafloor. Once thought to be mariners' tall tales, rogue waves damage or sink 1 or 2 ships each week, scientists say.
Rogue. That is a strange word, Doris. We won't see that very often. It's not one you use. But rogue is defined in Vocabulary Focus as behaving in a way that is not expected or normal, often in a destructive way.
And you can also call a person this. Of course, that's not very nice, but it is also a noun, and a person, they exhibit bad behavior, extremely terrible, you can call them a rogue.
But we see here we're talking about rogue waves. So these waves don't behave the way we would think they would. There's some weird reason why they have a different behavioral pattern than other waves.
And actually, rogue comes from the 1500s or 1600s, Doris. It was used to describe highwaymen or robbery men that would take people, hide and take money from people on the road. So we would call them rogues.
So you read about them in the old English novels and things like that, right. But for oceanographers now, they know that these things happen. It's not unusual for them. But what does surprise them is it doesn't happen more often. Well, happening is bad enough for you if you're on a ship. Now, it tells us in line 10 that these rogue waves go mostly unnoticed by most people. But what happened on that Norwegian cruise line?
Well, a 70-foot wave swept into the Norwegian cruise line vessel, and it reminded us of their existence.
So that's a pretty big wave, isn't it?
Oh, 70-foot is incredible. Normally, when you're on a cruise ship and out in sea, there might be 10-foot waves, but a 70-footer is going to be hitting near the top of the boat.
That's right, and in that case, the wave even flooded 62 cabins, and 4 people got injured, so it is very serious.
But usually when these waves happen, I guess they happen quite a bit, but if you're not in the ocean, if you're not on a ship, you wouldn't even notice it. So they're quite common, this man says, this Mark Donlan. He's a professor of marine physics, and he says you don't notice them unless somebody's there. Naturally, if you're not there, you're not going to see it. That's true. But if you're on an oil rig, now those oil rigs have great big high towers and things. If you're working on an oil rig trying to get oil out of the ocean, you would really notice one, wouldn't you?
Well, yes. In an oil rig, this is a very large structure containing equipment used to drill for oil. They are quite tall, but I would think that they look quite fragile above the water, and so if they were hit by a wave, you would probably lose quite a bit of equipment, and it would be a very harrowing experience to be on an oil rig when one hit.
Over the years, there have been bad accidents with oil rigs, Doris, as far as waves knocking them over, and there have been people, workers, that have died on some of these accidents.
But, you know, we don't want to scare anybody. I mean, you know, usually you don't see them. Let's not get worried about going to sea. Maybe you already signed up in a cruise ship. Don't cancel your reservation. But let's find out about them. These rogue waves form in 3 basic waves. How do they actually form?
Well, first, they grow out of strong winds beating against an opposing ocean current. And this might happen particularly, ocean currents might flow west to east, but then if the weather dramatically shifts, all of a sudden it can quickly change.
So the wind's blowing one way and the ocean current's going the other way, and they push against each other and it makes a huge wave.
Right. And the second way is that they are the product of intersecting waves driven together by storms. Intersecting is just waves that meet. So when you have different storms, there's different waves, and the air pressure causes the waves to become larger, and these waves hit each other. So then they form even larger waves.
So that would be more like the typhoons. I think that's what happened to the one I was on. There's a big wave, kind of like a typhoon winds. And you see pictures of ships and typhoons, and they get tossed around. They don't look like they're very powerful against those big waves.
A really good example of this, Doris, I would recommend to our listeners is the movie A Perfect Storm, which I saw the other night. And it shows a configuration of 2 storms coming together from the opposite direction. And it's amazing the wave that it produced.
But if you see that movie, you might not want to go to sea, so be careful. And what else could they come from?
The third way is that they are focused by the topography of the seafloor, and topography is the way the land is formed. And so these different hills and valleys on the ocean floor, the ocean currents will then run through them, and they will build into these rogue waves occasionally.
People often forget, you know, that the ocean isn't just a flat bed of sand. There's mountains and hills and everything else down there, and so it's just kind of like land, except it's got water over it. So when you have all of these different ways of hitting certain spots in the ocean, that would cause the waves to come up. So that's the third way. But anyway, it used to be thought that they were tall tales, or people were making them up when people would say, this big wave came and went over our whole ship. They said, oh, yeah, that's just a tall tale.
I'm just picturing maybe an old mariner sitting in a pub next to the ocean. We might call him Old Salty, and he's sitting there telling a story about, oh, the old wave back that hit the old ship. And, of course, everybody around him would sit there and say, oh, that's just a tall tale, meaning they don't believe him. They think he's maybe exaggerating.
Right. Well, let's read on and find out more about some of these that might have happened.
The 965-foot Norwegian Dawn encountered one such wave during a storm as it headed back to New York from the Bahamas recently. The wave pummeled the vessel, reaching as high as deck 10, flooding 62 cabins and injuring 4 people. The ship sought immediate shelter in South Carolina before chugging to port in New York. Cruise liner spokeswoman Susan Robeson said the boat's captain had slowed its speed to 4 knots rather than its usual 20 to 25 knots while navigating through the storm. That may have minimized damage, she said. Most rogue waves come upon you so fast there's really nothing you can do, said John Becker, an instructor who teaches captains how to operate large boats. Oceanographers are currently working on ways to predict the occurrence of rogue waves. But until that research is refined, it's hard to pinpoint where a rogue wave will strike. It's something you can't really plan for, Becker said.
Well, you might wonder why we chose an article like this, but, you know, actually we're all surrounded by oceans wherever we are, and we talk about things on land a lot, so every now and then we need to pay a little attention to the ocean, don't you think so?
Well, two-thirds of the world is water and oceans surrounding us, and we've had a lot of stories here in the past year as far as water and flooding and tsunamis, so it's something we need to be aware of.
Right. Most of us, of course, go by plane nowadays. We're traveling in cars and buses and trains, unless you're on some kind of a cruise ship. But remember, there's a lot of fishermen, there's a lot of cruise ships, there's a lot of cargo ships taking things. There's a lot of oil tankers and things. So there's a lot of ships out on that ocean.
That's right. And we see that the 965-foot Norwegian Dawn encountered one of these waves. And 965 feet, that's a huge ship. And so you would think that most of what the ocean would throw at it, it would be able to handle. But this was a very scary experience, it sounds, for some people.
Right, and it was headed back to New York, so it was on the east coast of the United States from these islands, from the Bahamas. And what happened to that?
Well, the wave pummeled the vessel, and pummel just means to hit repeatedly someone or something, and it reached as high as deck 10. So if you can imagine this large ship, there's different decks, or just different like floors in an apartment building, and it flooded 62 cabins and injured 4 people.
Well, what's fascinating to me about this, Doris, is I found this article interesting in that there have been many ships and airplanes that have disappeared in this area of the ocean. They call it the Bermuda Triangle, and some people think that's a tall tale. But then I learn about these rogue waves, and I thought, there's been a lot of ships disappeared, and now I find out these things happen all the time.
Right. So the ship then, of course, they immediately got to shelter in South Carolina, and they finally chugged into New York. So it was sort of half not working on the full speed after that.
Right. When we say chugging, that means just to move slowly, especially we hear the sound of the engine. It doesn't quite sound right.
Very often when I hear this word, I think about an old steam locomotive train, and it would chug along the tracks just very slowly, and you could hear each movement, chug, chug, chug.
Well, the cruise liner spokeswoman, Susan Robinson, she said the boat's captain had slowed the speed to 4 knots. Now, when you're on the ocean, you don't say miles per hour, you say knots.
That's right. This is a speed term we use, and it refers to how fast it goes per hour. And an interesting thing about this word is you don't have to say per hour afterwards. It's included in the term knot.
Does anybody know how fast a knot is?
I don't know. I thought a knot was around 1.2 miles per hour, Doris, but I may be wrong on that.
I know they call it a nautical mile, but I'm not
it's
sure.
It's a nautical mile, right.
Yeah.
Well, it's not very fast if you're on the ocean, but it seems like it takes a long time, but there's a lot of force when you're cutting through all those waves.
Well, to get a ship as large as the Norwegian Dawn going 25 knots takes an incredible amount of power. But we see that the captain slowed the ship down to 4 knots, and what that would have done is reduce the impact of the wave on the ship. So he actually might have saved the ship from sinking by slowing down dramatically.
What it probably did was just keep it moving just a little bit. But if he'd been trying to go fast, then it wouldn't have worked. Then it probably would have turned over or something.
Yes, we see the usual speed is 20 to 25 knots. So he was only going a fifth or a sixth of the normal speed that the ship was capable of. But he was doing this to navigate the storm, to find his way through the storm.
But, you know, they have all these good navigation tools and things now. We have things to predict typhoons and all this weather and so forth. You would think that they could say, well, here's a big wave coming. Do something about it. Because we can predict so many things, but can they predict these?
Ah, good question, Doris. We see in line 9, most rogue waves come upon you so fast, there's really nothing you can do. So we're talking about weather that might be perfectly calm, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's a 70-foot wave.
That's right. So captains always have prepared. This John Becker, he's an instructor who teaches captains how to operate large boats. He tells them this, and I think before they become captains, they probably practice what they would do when they do encounter a rogue wave.
If you think about, we talked about how a tsunami forms a couple of months ago, and what it is there's a wave traveling under the water, and as long as it has enough depth to keep moving, that's okay. But if it comes across a mountain where there's a shallower part, that will force the water up, and you can see that it could be perfectly calm, and all of a sudden you have this huge wave just out of the middle of nowhere.
Well, someday they'll probably figure out how they can tell it. They'll be able to have some kind of sensor that can tell it or something. But right now, there's just no way to know, really.
Well, we talked about the tsunamis before in our early warning system a few months ago that consists of buoys that will detect earthquakes and tremors that might cause a tsunami. But we see in line 13 that oceanographers are currently working on ways to predict the occurrence of rogue waves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this article isn't so difficult, and yet you have to use your imagination. Just pretend that you're out there and one of these things comes. Now, if you're just on the boat or on the ship, as they would call a big one, well, you just probably have to hang on. But if you're the captain, you really have to figure out, should I turn the ship a little bit so that it won't hit us this way, and how can I hold it steady? And this captain evidently did a very, very good job to slow it down suddenly, because this would be something that started to hit. You don't have a lot of time.
That's right. You have to think on your feet, and you have to be very quick and make good decisions.
It was a good thing he did make that quick decision, because there were 2,000 passengers on board, so he possibly saved 2,000 lives.
We talked about earlier in the article that only 4 people got injured, and if there's 2,000 people on a boat to only have 4 injuries, no deaths, no other casualties, that's an amazing statistic in my mind that he did an amazing job keeping his passengers and crew safe.
So that's like most of the jobs, whether you're a pilot or you're a captain of a ship or if you're an engineer on a train or whatever you're doing, when everything goes well, it's no problem. But you hit an unusual situation, and this is what they have to train people for. And in a lot of things like airplane accidents or ships and so forth, it's human error. And so the people have to be alert. You think, oh, I've done this many times, it's no problem. But you have to keep alert and aware the whole time.
That's right. During crisis situations, you just have to know what to do and consider different options and think through beforehand what you would do.
Typically, it might be a panic situation. The pilot or the captain will end up panicking, causing a problem, so and then they might lose control of the ship.
Well, or they might just be relaxing a little bit. I mean, these come all of a sudden, and they have to be just on call to do something for an emergency. So they can't relax too much when they're out at sea, I would think, because they're in charge of that whole thing.
Well, and we see in line 15 there in the second column, Doris, until the research is refined, it's hard to pinpoint where a rogue wave will strike. We talked about tsunamis. Maybe there's a prediction capability now because of earth tremors and earthquakes. But with these wind currents and ocean currents, it's much more difficult to pinpoint them.
And what do we call the people who work on things like this?
We call them oceanographers. And an ographer, any type of ographer, means it's a scientist or a person who studies that. And so you put the word ocean in front of it, it's someone who studies the ocean or is an ocean scientist.
And a photographer then is one that studies taking pictures, right?
That's correct.
And I would say a takeoff on one of our specialized terms, topography, those are topographers. And those would be people who study the land and actually draw those maps.
What do we call English teachers then?
English teachers.
Okay. No. We don't get a scientific name like that, Bill. Okay. Well, these oceanographers are currently working on ways to predict the occurrence of rogue waves. Occurrence means things that happen, and they'll know how often they happen and when they're going to happen. And so they're still working on it. They're trying to solve this problem. But what is one of the problems they have that it says in line 15?
Well, Becker, the instructor who teaches other people about how to operate large boats, he says that it's something you can't really plan for, so you never know when a rogue wave might strike.
That's right. They don't have the research right now. It's not been refined. To refine the research means to narrow it down and really make it applicable in a certain situation. So they haven't been able to get the research specific enough to be able to predict these waves.
They do have research, but they are working on it. They are refining it. And it's hard to pinpoint where it will strike. Now, I think they can tell there's like turbulence, there's disturbing in the water, but they don't know where the wave will strike.
I would think it's similar to trying to predict where a tornado is going to strike. We might see a storm pattern, and maybe the conditions might be ripe for tornadoes, but the actual pinpointing of a tornado is really impossible.
So nature is still a very powerful force, and you do everything you can to be safe, but there are certain things, earthquakes, tsunamis, rogue waves, these things that are really, really very strong, and we have to just be prepared to handle the emergency when these things happen.
That's right. And what I found interesting was that they're saying that these are a lot more common than we think. I had never heard of this before, but apparently they sink 1 to 2 ships a week. That was an interesting fact that I learned, was that they are actually a fairly common occurrence.
Well, if any of you that are listening in are planning to be fishermen, you might change your mind after this article. You know those little fishing boats that go out? They're not very big compared to these, and boy, rogue waves could just tear them right up.
And if you ever are on a ship or on a cruise, be sure you know where the lifeboats are. Be sure you know where the safety exits are, just in case something happens.
I don't know if that rogue wave would hit. It would do you much good to get in one of those even.
Well, might be dangerous, but Esther makes a good point. The cruises I have been on, one of the first things they do is have all the passengers go through drills. We go up on deck. We have to put our life preservers on, and they assign us to certain stations on the boat. So that is one of the first things that they do, practice that safety.
Okay. Well, let's see what we have today for our special feature.
Hey, Mike. What's up? I haven't seen you in a month. Did you go anywhere for summer vacation?
No, I had to work as an intern in my dad's company.
Really? I'm sorry to hear that. Do you know where I went over the holidays? The Caribbean! Oh, it was so amazing! We had such a blast!
Wow, that sounds kind of fun. You know what? Now that my internship is over, my dad is going to take me to Phuket Island next week before school starts.
Hold on a second. Isn't that where the terrible tsunami occurred?
Yeah, so?
Aren't you afraid it would happen again?
Not really. What are the chances of the tsunami happening again in such a short period of time? Plus, after the tsunami, price rates are unbeatable. We're going to have so much fun over there.
That's true. Well, other than the tsunami, you should also watch out for rogue waves.
Rogue waves?
These are gigantic, spontaneous waves that can go up to at least 20 meters high. They're usually able to wreck medium to large-sized ships.
Oh, we are getting on a cruise ship when we arrive there. Now you're getting me all nervous.
I didn't mean to scare you. Just try to be careful.
Well, if it's so powerful like you said, there's really nothing I can do if rogue waves actually hit.
Well, technically speaking, yes.
So, I'm just not going to worry about it. Nothing is going to stop me from having a good time because I deserve it.
Okay, man. That's cool. It's just a friendly warning.
Well, Doris, this was a very large ship that was hit by a rogue wave, but you're from the Seattle, Washington area, and that's a great area for fishing, and I remember reading about how dangerous that occupation is. It's very difficult to get people to go into it because of the danger, and this might be one of them.
Well, it's not so bad in Seattle because you have Puget Sound and you've got, you know, the water doesn't come directly, but those that live right on the coast, like on the coast all along, of course, over in China, all the China coast and all the coasts around Hong Kong, Every mm-hmm. place where they have all these waves, it's really very dangerous. And fishermen all over the world try to check the weather. People in the Philippines, and there's lots of ferries that are turned over in the Philippines sometimes, probably by some of these kind of waves. Have you ever read about that? Even in Bangladesh and India, in those places, all of a sudden, there's something will happen, and a ferry full of all these people will turn over, and people will die. So I suppose that could be caused by some of these. Do you think so?
Right. It would be an unexpected wave or maybe a current in the river that would cause these to overturn. It's that unexpected part of it.
I thought it was very interesting. We're talking about these rogue waves and how Bill brought up the Bermuda Triangle, in which it was thought that this was an area where ships just mysteriously disappeared. Well, maybe we are now finding some solutions to this, and we will learn more about how to protect ourselves against them and how to find out if they are actually going to hit or not.
Well, oceanography is a very good field for people who are interested in the ocean. There's many things to study about it. Some of you might become oceanographers someday, or perhaps you are, and you might have more to add to that. But at least it gives us a little vocabulary about another field of work, about an oceanographer, some of the things that they have to work on. And we're going to talk about another interesting article in our newsworthy clips tomorrow, so I know you're all going to want to be here for that. We'll talk about different things that will enlarge your vocabulary and also help us to feel more about the world we live in. So thanks for being with us today, everyone, and have a nice, safe day, and be careful when you go on your next cruise trip, Bill.
Okay? I'll make sure I'm careful.
Okay, goodbye now.
Goodbye.